Okay. Good morning to one and all. We're skipping a little bit through Perikop Dalid in the hopes of keeping up a healthy pace, working our way towards the end of the Sefer. So today I want to study the last five or so psukim in the 24th Perik of Mishlei. We'll begin with Pasuk Chav Ches for what is, I believe, a very beautiful proverb, a very proverbial Perik in Mishlei. This one is. So let's learn that together. It's up on the screen along with the Malbim, beginning Perek Chav Dalet, Pasuk Chav Ches. This seems to be a continuation, as is often the case in these chapters in Mishlei, that they have overlapping themes that continue to resurface. So one of the themes in this Perek is a theme about judgment. I know some of you will be interested in how these things connect to each other. So I'm just identifying that problem. Al tihi eid chinam bereyecha. Don't be an aid chinam for your friend or against your friend, meaning don't testify in an inappropriate way. Bireyecha aid chinam. So the translation here is don't be a witness against your fellow without good cause. That's chinam means free. That's how it's translated here. Would you mislead with your speech? Pitoy means to seduce someone. I mean, obviously, in an unethical way. And then pasuk chavtes, al tomar kasher asali kain eselo, ashiv leish kipaalo. Don't say to yourself, "I'm just doing to him what he did to me. I'm giving him what he deserves." So what exactly is going on here? The Malbim says, "Al tihi eid chinam, bal ta'id eidos al chavercha lechayvo al davar shelo asa shehu chinam." So the Malbim's understanding is, don't try and charge someone with a crime that they did not commit. Don't testify that they did something chinam, meaning if they have not done it at all for no reason because they haven't done it. Why would you mislead with your speech? Now, the second possibility, the Malbim quotes, right underneath it, Bein im ta'aseze mach maschar, she'al ze amar ve'hafitisa, rot shalom she'tariach pas lechem ayde svasecha. So the second interpretation is that it'll come with pas. It's a very interesting translation here, she'tariach pas lechem. In other words, what the Malbim is saying is, al tihi eid chinam, means don't do it for free, don't do it without cause if they didn't do anything. The second interpretation is, why are you testifying about people if it doesn't get you any benefit? Which is very curious. And then in the next comment, al tomar kasher asali kein eselo, ubeinim tasezeh lahashiv lo gmul al hara she'asalaf. This, I think, is a very common challenge in the legal system. Even though you have to do it in an unethical way, the reason you're doing it unethically is because you know the person deserves justice. And the only way to get it is to bend the rules. So you're willing to testify falsely against someone because they deserve it, even though you don't have the right witnesses. That's what the pasuk means, says the Malbim. I'm just doing to him what he did to me. And even if it requires testifying falsely, I'm going to do it. You don't get to write your own terms of justice. The justice system is limited. If there isn't testimony, there isn't testimony. That is not a reason to make it up just because you know the crime was committed. And then the Malbim has a second interpretation. If the other person has testified falsely against you or others, that does not give you the right to testify falsely against them. So in other words, in this kind of duality, the Malbim is talking about two different layers of unethical conduct in the court from the perspective of, from the role of the witness. Sometimes it's talking about, one version of this is talking about testifying falsely because you believe it is the best way to get to justice. The second is testifying falsely against someone who testified falsely. And either way, the Shlomo HaMelech is rejecting them both, okay? How it fits with what we're about to see is maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But I wanted to read those psukim with you because I thought that interpretation was pretty interesting. Okay, now, everybody with me. Pasuk Lamed, this is great. Pasuk Lamed through Pasuk Lamedal. We'll read the whole thing, then we'll share the Malbim's interpretation. Al Sedei Ish Atzel Avarti. This seems to be Shlomo HaMelech writing in first person. which is why it sounds like such a beautiful proverb. You know, I once passed by the field of a lazy man, V'al kerem adam chasar lev, and I also passed by the vineyard of a man who was lacking in heart. Here it says lacking in sense, okay? Now, what's the relationship between the field and the vineyard? What's the relationship between the lazy man and the man without a heart? If it was just me translating superficially, recognizing that these two halves of the pasuk are meant to parallel one another, so I would say the lazy person is ish atzel, right? He's too lazy to do any work. And the chasar lev is a person who's lacking not in sense, but in passion, which is probably another way of saying laziness. He's not excited about the work that he has to do. I walk by a field of a lazy person, and I walk past a vineyard of someone with no passion in their heart. So what do you notice when you walk by a field of someone who has no intention of tending to their crops? Vihine alachu lo kimshonim. It was all overgrown with thorns. Kasu panav charulim. Its surface was covered with chickweed. Vegeder avanav neherasa. And its stone fence was collapsing in ruin. In other words, he sees the field of a lazy person. Now, does Shlomo HaMelech know the person? Or is it obvious from the condition of the field that the owner is an ish atzel or an adam chasar lev? But either way, it's very dramatic kind of imagery. He walks by this field and everything is collapsing. Now, it's worth pointing out here, Shlomo HaMelech in the first pasuk is talking about two different people in two different fields. One is a field and one is a vineyard. One's an ish atzel, one's an adam chasar lev. But now all of a sudden, it seems like it's all one field, unless half the pasuk is talking about one and half the field is talking about the other. I'm just pointing it out. But he's going, V'achaze anochi ashis libi. I observed it and I took it to heart. Now, this is really important. The language here is so beautiful. Echaze means something that I look at, right? Like a chazon is a vision. So Shlomo HaMelech is looking at the field and he says, I looked at it and I internalized it in my heart. Now, what he might be saying here is, Echaze, I saw the field of the ish atzel, and ashis libi to the adam chasar lev, right? Because there's two fields at play. But either way, Shlomo HaMelech is saying, and the Malbim develops this language, we'll get to it in a second, Echaze anochi ashis libi. I saw this travesty, and I internalized it. I processed it emotionally and spiritually. Ra'isi, look at the parallel. I saw it, lakachti musar. So Shlomo HaMelech is teaching us from his own experiences everything that he's been trying to teach us all throughout Mishle. What do you learn from seeing things in life? They are beautiful metaphors all around us for what our mission and our purpose is. I once walked past the field and I saw it completely dilapidated. And I recognized that the owners of the field were lazy people, that they were lacking in passion. And I processed that which I learned and I took Musar from it. And then, I guess, I said the following. This is maybe the way to understand it. Ma'at shenos, ma'at tumos, ma'at chibuk yadayim lishkav. A bit more sleep, a bit more slumber, a bit more hugging yourself in the bed. Very strange pasuk, but beautiful. And then pasuk lamedale, the end of the perek, uba mishalech reshecha. And poverty will come calling upon you, umachzarcha ki ishmagin. And want like the man with the shield. In other words, me'at shenos, me'at tnumos, me'at chibuk yadayim lishkav, a person who says, I'm just going to sleep in a little bit more. I'm just going to take one more nap. I'm just going to cuddle up with a blanket and mind my own business for a little bit longer. Uba mishalech reshecha. This is reshecha here. Does not mean your head, like roshecha. It means poverty, like a rush is a poor person. All of a sudden, you will be overcome by poverty and machzarcha ki ishmagin. Your needs, meaning all the things that you are chaser, that you are lacking, will be like a man with a shield. In other words, they will protect all influences from the outside. In other words, saying your poverty will trap you from within. So it's kind of an unbelievable mashal, the kind of mashal that we're hoping for when we learn Mishle. That's colorful and personal and relevant. It's really kind of fascinating. So I'll just make two comments about it quickly, but I think it's just one of those mashalim that's good to be familiar with. The first is the comment of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon often understands that the proverbs that we are taught in Mishle are a reference not to Jewish values in general, but to Torah study in particular. And for that reason, he often draws the distinctions in the metaphors of Mishle as having to do with different kinds of Torah learning. So for the Vilna Gaon here, Sadeh refers to a place where wheat is grown, and Kerem refers to a vineyard where grapes are grown or wine is made. And he believes, and he proves this throughout his commentary on Mishle, that wheat is a kind of a staple food. That's a reference to halachic study. And vineyards, wine, the luxury of that, is a reference to Agadah, to stories, to Jewish values, that kind of Jewish study, which is less halachic and more abstract, more conceptual. And he believes that we're talking about a Jewish person who's living a life of mitzvos, but hasn't put any energy into either of these categories. They're not thinking deeply about their Judaism in the Kerem, and they're not nurturing their halachic knowledge. Like, they were told that they're halachos, but they haven't reviewed the details, and therefore they can't practice anything in an accurate fashion. So he develops the mashal in that way. There's the man of the Sadeh, the man of the Kerem. Both of them require tending to, and both of them are falling short. It's a very interesting interpretation. But let's just take a look at the Malbim for today, and then we will close for the week. The Malbim on the right side here on the Pasuk Lamed, I walked by the field of a lazy person. I walked by the vineyard of someone lacking passion. Hasadeh tzricha avoda rabba befoel. Charisha v'zriya v'chadoma. Fields need a lot of work. They need to be plowed and they need to be sown. The lazy person is just too lazy. Va'kerem shehu kvar natua. The vineyard's already planted. The vines are already there. Ein tzarach avoda kol kach. The vineyard needs much less work than the field because once the vines are there, the vines are there. V'rak tzarach shmira levayis kal kiel. All you have to do is make sure that they don't get ruined. This is kind of a classic Malbim in that way. The first person is too lazy to plant wheat in a field because you have to start from scratch every year. But he's willing to do a little bit. You send him out to the vineyard and trims, you know, prune some of the vines and pick some of the grapes. That he's willing to do. The chaser lev is even worse. He's so inconsiderate. He's so unpassionate about his products. Even a little bit of tending, you know, some of you had that. I'm sure some of you have plants in your home. They don't require a tremendous amount of work, right? They just require a certain amount of thoughtfulness that you check on them. You make sure they have enough water. They need to be pruned. You take a scissor. Nobody's schwitzing over the plants that they have on their windowsill, but it requires a certain amount of attention to detail. So the stay-ish atzel guy is just too lazy to work the field. It's just so much work. He can't do it. He gives up. But on top of that, he sees a kerem from an adam chaser leaf. All you have to do is walk around and trim the leaves. All you have to do is make sure it has enough water, and he can't be bothered. He's just not connected to it. So therefore, I see that the whole field is collapsing. So what does he say? Echeze anochi ashisli bi ra'isi lakachti musar. So I looked at this, and I processed it, and I took musar. Hachizayon muvdal min hari'iyah shemor al mechze halev haruach. He sees it in a very deep, spiritual, emotional way. He's not just looking at the field, but obviously internalizing it. He's having this imagery and he's processing it in a very deep way. The field and the vineyard here are talking about the soul of the human being. Because the soul is what produces the real fruits of our labor in this world, which are wisdom and energy. If a person is willing to do the hard work in pruning the field, by that he means nurturing our souls, so then the soul is really going to produce something special. And the sadeh refers to mitzvos ase, that take a lot of work, the commandments Hashem gives us. You have to go out into the field and you have to produce, you have to gather, you have to bring it home.
So
He's not willing to work hard enough to do mitzvos in his life. V'akerem, humi shekvar nata v'shasal gofnei hachachma v'tzarach lishmar mitzvos lo saseh. The vineyard is talking about someone who already has growing vines, but they're not able to protect themselves from doing the wrong thing. V'chein lishmar es tamudo, shelo yishtakach mimenu, shezeh avoda kala. You went to yeshiva. I mean, you could process this however you want to. I'll tell you how I processed it. You went to yeshiva all those years, 14 years of Jewish education. All you have to do is keep it fresh. You're not starting from zero. But if you leave it untended, it all fades away. It's not so much work, you know, to open a chumash and learn Shnayim Mikra. It's not so much work to study the parsha. It's not so much work to learn a halacha every day. But if you just let it go because you're unconnected to it, you have no passion for it, so then it's all going to rot. It's going to crumble. Shegeder chaser leiv she'ilna koach hamoshal barucho v'atava tifrutz bo peretz lavar alosa say ulhaniach tarasa. We leave our Torah behind. We violate its scriptures. Ubeze ala sadeo v'karmel kimshoni v'nishchasa chalkas nafsho. It erodes the quality of our souls. Micharoli ayitzer v'lo toti pri v'alze lakachti muser liyaser sanefesh b'mosros hamuser bal teitze migidra. And that's what I did, said Shlomo HaMelech. I took Musar from the imagery of these fields and said to myself, how much nurturing do I need to do to my own soul so it doesn't look like these fields of the lazy who left them unattended. Okay, there's a little bit more here, but I think we are out of time. More to read and more to think about in this beautiful mashal, but those are two different possible interpretations of what Shlomo HaMelech is referring to. That will be the end of Perek Chaf Dalet for us. I'm going to wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. Today's the 40th day of the Omer, so please remember to keep up the count. I believe we will not be meeting on Monday because we will be hosting a Yom Yerushalayim Tefillah 7:45 with Chazon Shim. If you're with us in person, just register for davening so you could be with us in person in shul, coffee and donuts to follow. If not, you could join us on Zoom, but unfortunately, you'll have to bring the coffee and donuts yourselves. Thanks, everybody, for joining us throughout the week. I'm sorry.